Hello friends, it is good to greet you again and to extend to you all a warm welcome to this half hour of Radio Fellowship. This is your friend Harry Benton presenting another program of Times of Refreshing, brought to you through the good auspices of the Voice of Melody Victoria. We trust the music we share with you today, together with our meditation on the topic of worship and God's throne, will be timely words of encouragement and a spiritual blessing in your life. Opening our program musically is the Rick Powell Sunday Choir with the song entitled, Thou Art Worthy.
And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created.
Did you know that God has many desires to be fulfilled in the lives of people who have been born again? There is the desire of obedience, of service, of prayer, and of thanksgiving. He desires too that we praise Him, but His supreme desire from us is that we worship Him. I have heard it said that we have been saved to serve. And there is a lot of truth in that statement, but more profoundly, we have been saved to worship Him. Worship is an act of adoration. In Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7, we read of the believer's call to worship. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. Here we see that God is the object of our worship. When we worship Him, we are counting Him worthy. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 we read, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for Thou hast made all things, and for Thy pleasure were they created. We are also reminded in Psalm 96 and verse 9 of how our worship to God should be offered. Verse 9 says, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Our worship to God takes us into His presence. We come before Him as one who is holy. Psalm 99 and verse 5 says, Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Let me share with you briefly an experience in the lives of two notable characters in the Old Testament, Moses and Joshua. In Exodus chapter 3, we read that as Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep in the backside of the desert, his attention was drawn to a strange sight. A bush burned without being consumed. When Moses turned to look more closely, he heard God speaking, Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Joshua had a similar experience when he approached the captain of the host of the Lord. As Joshua drew nearer, he was given this command, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 15. The experiences of Moses and Joshua vividly teach us that a holy God demands our reverence and respect. True, we are encouraged to come boldly unto the throne of grace, and we can enter the presence of God with confidence, because Christ has opened the way for us through His substitutionary death on the cross. But never are we to approach God with any form of disrespect. Our Heavenly Father is not the man upstairs, as sometimes He is referred to. He is God, the one who is high and lifted up. Because of His majesty and holiness, we are to exalt and worship Him. As the one true God, He is worthy of our adoration, and He deserves our highest praise. Let us always remember, we enter His presence with reverence. We worship Him with gratitude and exaltation. God not only desires our devotion and esteem, He deserves it. He is worthy of our heartfelt worship. True worship acknowledges the true worship of God.
To worship.
living God whom we worship is the same God we can call upon and speak to when we are faced with trials, perplexities, anxiety, or whatever may be our burdens. As our worship delights the heart of our Heavenly Father, likewise, there is joy and delight when he hears the prayer of faith that petitions for his divine help in times of need. He loves to hear our prayers. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 107 and verse 13. Then they prayed unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. There are two interesting things to note in this verse of Scripture. One, they called upon the Lord in their trouble, not before nor after, but while they were in it. And secondly, the verse concludes with the assuring statement that the Lord saved them out of their distresses. Perhaps we can illustrate the truth of this verse of Scripture by drawing on an experience that happened in the Martin family. Many years ago, Pastor W.S. Martin was in a perplexing situation. He was to preach in a distant village, yet he was worried about leaving home because his wife had unexpectedly become ill. After pondering and praying about his problem, he mentioned it to his children. One of them, undoubtedly prompted by the Lord, gave the advice he needed. "Don't be afraid to go, Father. I'm sure God will take good care of Mother while you are away." The pastor remembered how he had often impressed upon his family that they should put the Lord first in their lives and that they should keep their commitments whenever possible. So, casting aside his anxiety, he went in the confidence of Psalm 37 and verse 23, believing that the Lord was ordering his steps. Now Psalm 37 and verse 23 says this: "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." The services conducted by the pastor were richly blessed by God, and when he returned home, he found his wife was much improved. In gratitude to the Lord, she had written a poem about his loving help and providential care. Within an hour, Pastor Martin arranged a melody on the organ to fit the words. It has become a famous and much loved hymn. And one stanza of this beautiful hymn reads like this: "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Troubled believer, God is interested in you and your problems. He invites you to call upon him so that he might direct your steps and graciously take care of you. He waits patiently for you to roll your burdens on him. Remember, friends, if you do the casting, God will do the caring.
Thank you.
We are going to share with you now some thoughts on the throne of God. The Bible has much to say about this important topic. Firstly, it tells us where the throne is. Psalm 11 and verse 4 says, "The Lord's throne is in heaven." Isaiah 66 and verse 1 reads, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne." And verse 19 of Psalm 103 says, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." Secondly, we read in Psalm 45 and verse 6 of the duration of God's throne. "Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever." And in Psalm 93 and verse 2, we read, "Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting." God's throne is an eternal throne. Thirdly, God's throne is a dignified throne because of the one who sits on it. We read in Psalm 47 and verse 8, "God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness." This glorious throne is undefiled. Friends, another aspect of God's throne is described by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2 as being a throne of exaltation. Our Lord Jesus sits upon this throne. Having humbled himself to become a servant, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and having completed the work of our redemption, God raised him from the dead and has highly exalted him. The writer to the Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." And the hymn writer, Thomas Kelly, expresses it ever so nicely in these words, "He fills the throne above, he fills it without wrong." God's throne is also a throne of grace, and to this throne we are warmly invited. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." At the throne of grace, God receives us at all times, in all his love and grace and mercy. Now in Revelation chapter 5, the throne of God is revealed to us as a throne of worship and praise. The Apostle John describes this majestic scene. Our Lord Jesus is portrayed as the Lamb upon the throne. He is the center of much praise and worship from a vast multitude of the redeemed from every nation, singing praises to him who sits upon the throne. I wonder how many listening today can say with assurance, "I will be one in that heavenly choir." Now finally, a thought on God's throne as a throne of judgment. Psalm 9 and verse 7 says, "He hath prepared his throne for judgment." And we read in Psalm 89 and verse 14 that justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. The Bible says that judgment is God's strange work. Revelation 20 and verse 11 brings us to the end of time when the final acts of judgment will be executed. The Apostle John, speaking of this, says, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And verse 15 says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My dear friends, these things that we speak of in your hearing today, they are not idle words, but rather they are solemn words. And with all the love that is in my heart, I would urge you to consider seriously, without delay, the reality and the truth of these words in the light of eternity. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour, and you die in your sins, your eternal destiny is sealed. For you, it will be the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. That's the plain truth of the Word of God. But listen, I have good news for you. You can escape this awful judgment just by trusting in the Saviour today with a simple exercise of faith in Jesus Christ, who died for you on Calvary's cross. Open your heart and life to Him now and experience a new and wonderful joy, lasting peace and happiness, which He alone can give. In closing our time of fellowship today, we leave you with the promise we read of in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Jesus speaking says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." My friends, that is a personal invitation with a guaranteed unbroken promise from my Lord and Saviour to you. Now finally, a reminder of our cassette ministry. Today's program has been recorded on cassette and is available to you upon request, free and postpaid. To obtain your free copy, just address your request to Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 3140. When writing, be sure to include in your letter this number, 1126, cassette number 1126. And the address again is Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale, 3140. This program is a radio missionary outreach of the Christian Brethren Assemblies of Victoria and is made possible by God's provision through His people. Now, till next we meet, this is Harry Venton wishing you God's richest blessing. Goodbye for now, and remember, keep looking up.